On the show today, we have CUNA's Ryan Donovan talking about their 2016 advocacy goals, so check it out. Let's talk a little bit about credit union advocacy here. Sure. What can credit unions do to kind of ramp up their efforts, especially as the GAC is like right around the corner? Can you believe
it? Coming up real soon, isn't it? Well, you know, I always say that the toughest part of the GAC, from my perspective, are the 6 weeks that precede it, because that's when we're getting ready to put everything together, getting our talking points ready and everything. And really, if you're coming to the GAC, now's the perfect time to start thinking about participating in the meetings and what it's going to mean for you and your credit union. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the first thing that I would tell folks is run Project Zip Code. Project Zip Code is a program that we developed here at CUNA. And what it does is it counts the number of credit union members that are in each political jurisdiction. It's what enables us to be able to go into a congressional office mm-hmm. and say, we have 250,000 credit union members in this district. But it's only as effective as the number of credit unions that run it. So this is the time of year where we're encouraging credit unions to run Project Zip Code, and they can go to the CUNA website to get more information about that.
Right, and they should I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but the second thing in terms of getting ready to come to GAC is I want folks to talk with their staffs, with their colleagues. Talk about how regulatory burden is keeping you from serving your members, and bring some examples of when rules have kept you from extending a loan or offering a service. We're really trying to, this is a constant battle for us, but we're really trying to make regulatory burden something that members of Congress and other policymakers truly understand. There are unintended consequences to every regulation and every law that is enacted, and it's incumbent upon us to tell that story.
Indeed, indeed. And it being an election year, is advocacy even more crucial this year than in other years, say?
Absolutely. I mean, advocacy is a process, not an event. So constantly ongoing. And in an election year, it would be really easy to look at what's going on in Washington and say, well, nothing's going to happen. But there's a lot of stuff that is happening. We're in a lot of respects trying to finish some unfinished business from last year, but we're using this year to lay the groundwork for things, to further develop relationships. And it's unquestionable that there is so much coming out of the various regulators, whether it's CFPB, NCUA. We're doing a lot of work with the department, responding to what the Department of Labor is doing on the fiduciary rule and the overtime rule. There are things coming out of FASB that are going to affect credit unions.
Yeah.
So, yes, an election year is really special, and there's going to be a really important election in November. But between now and then, we've got a lot of work to do and huge responsibility to advocate for credit unions.
Yeah, I like how you put it. It's a process, not an event. It's not a one-time deal. It's a consistent thing.
One of the things that we tell folks is, you know, consider the relationship that you have with your member of Congress just as that, as a relationship.
Yeah.
You think about it, you know, if you're dating or something, you don't often ask the person you're dating to marry you on the first date.
True.
It develops over time.
Yeah.
And it's a very similar type of thing with members of Congress and other policymakers.
Okay. Hey, Ryan, I asked my wife to marry me on the first date, and look what happened.
Now you've got a very successful television show here on the internet.
I'm just kidding. It was a process, like you say.
Right.
You guys have some advocacy goals for 2016. Let's go over a couple of them while we have a little bit of time here. Reducing regulatory burden. I saw you had a write-up recently about how Dodd-Frank has kind of crushed credit unions with the burden and just kind of taking them away from what they really do best, which is serving members, obviously. What can we do in this area?
We had a reporter ask me last week, what do credit unions think about the Dodd-Frank Act? And I told her, I said, well, if the goal of the bill was to gradually reduce the number of credit unions in the country through overwhelming, unbearable regulatory burden, then it's a success. But credit unions will tell you that it was a failure. And so our work here in Washington, in a large part, is about trying to remove those barriers that keep credit unions from from fully serving their members. And right now, from a legislative perspective, that means trying to get the unfinished pieces of the Shelby Regulatory Relief Bill through Congress and into law. And if you recall, towards the end of last year, we were able to get three important provisions enacted as part of the transportation bill.
Yep.
But there were 15 provisions in the Shelby bill, and they dealt with things ranging from the CFPB's qualified mortgage rule to other mortgage rules, the HMDA proposal coming out of CFPB, Federal Home Loan Bank membership eligibility parity. So there's a lot left unfinished that we want to make sure we're talking about with members of Congress this year. The other thing, we're seeing some good things come out of NCUA, the new member business lending proposal.
Yeah.
We think that's going to be finalized here in the first couple months of 2016.
Whoa.
And it's going to take a little bit of time for it to be implemented.
Yeah.
But that's going to be very positive for business lending credit unions.
Nice.
And we're in the middle of a comment period on the field of membership proposal.
Mm-hmm.
That'll close by February 8th. But you better believe that that's going to be something that members of Congress and others are going to be interested in talking with us about as we get to GAC.
Yep, those have huge, huge implications on our future. All right, expanding access to all credit unions. I think we touched on this.
Well, the field of membership is obviously a key part of that. expanding access to making credit unions more available to consumers and reducing regulatory burden do go hand in hand.
Yes.
So even when we look at proposals like the payday lending proposal that we think CFPB is going to issue, getting that right is crucial to having consumers be able to access credit unions. Because if the CFPB doesn't do that rule just right, it's going to have the exact opposite effect.
Oh,
and we have seen that on so many of their proposals,
mm-hmm.
where the way they've structured their rules has meant that it's more difficult for credit unions to serve members. So when we talk about expanding access to credit unions so that credit unions can serve more members, it is just as much about field of membership as it is about making sure that the CFPB rules don't disincentivize folks from using credit unions.
Exactly, exactly. Let's go to number three here, sir. Engaging in development of public policy that deals with payments and data security. How does one go about this?
Yeah, so we've really been at the forefront of a lot of the payments issues. So on data security, we helped put together the bill in the Senate and in the House that would say that if you are a merchant that accepts cards for payment, you're going to be held to the same standard as the credit union or the bank that issues those cards. That's just common sense.
Hallelujah, and, brother. I love it.
And, you know, we had some great progress with this in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the legislation move through the House Financial Services Committee. It got an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote in the committee. Now, it's complicated. We've got a couple other committees that have a hand in this, but we're hopeful that we'll see some additional movement on the data security bill in 2016.
Yay.
We're gonna see that movement if folks come to Washington with their data breach stories. If they're able to say, you know, we had this many members affected, it costed us this much money,
mm-hmm.
And all of this is because the merchants aren't held to the same standards that we are. It's a very simple message to deliver, and the folks coming to GAC are the ones to deliver it. Now, we're trying to do some other things on payments as well. So last year, we participated in a couple of lawsuits. We sued Home Depot for their data breach, and we're part of a class action there.
Mm-hmm.
We've also participated in some lawsuits dealing with surcharging, and they really relate to the interchange regulation. There were suits in Florida, Texas, and California that we were a part of. The Florida case didn't go our way, but the cases in Texas and California we're hopeful for. Regardless, it's something that's likely going to end up at the Supreme Court level, and
oh, wow.
And we'll be a part of that all along the way.
Awesome.
So definitely, there's so much going on in payments and in payment security,
it's crazy.
But we're at the forefront. That's one of our goals this year.
Indeed. And just a quick side note, during my holiday shopping adventures at the local malls here, just about every store that I went to had an EMV terminal.
But how many were turned on?
That's my point.
Yeah.
None. 100% of them were not turned on.
Yeah.
I was like,
Lord. And, you know, this is, EMV and chip and PIN is just one step in terms of a long road on payment security.
Yeah.
There are folks at the card networks and other places that are five or six steps ahead on this road. And that's why, you know, one of the other things that we were successful at in 2015 was preventing a specific security mandate. So there were the merchants want Congress to enact a law that says you got to have chip and PIN.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there are going to be more security developments in the coming years, and it might not be wise to mandate today's technology
and limit
what might be developed in the future.
Yep. All right. Last but not least, Mr. Donovan, preserving the favorable tax treatment. The old stalwart there.
That's right.
Always there.
I mean, credit unions are tax exempt because of their structure and mission. Their structure is not-for-profit financial cooperatives, and their mission to promote thrift and provide access to credit for provident purposes. The banks want Congress to think that it's all about powers and that there are limits, that's why credit unions are tax exempt. And, well, if credit unions want to do this or that, then they ought to pay taxes just like the bank. It's structure and mission. That's the message on Capitol Hill. The good news is we don't see a lot of movement in Congress towards comprehensive tax reform this year.
Oh, good.
But as we've just been reminded in the last couple of days, it's really important for us to remain vigilant.
Yes.
So we've had Representative Devin Nunes from California has for the last 6 or 8 months been working on a new comprehensive tax reform bill. And we've had a number of conversations with his staff because of the way that it was written. We were concerned that it unintentionally or inadvertently mm-hmm. would have caused a tax on credit unions. We worked it out. They're going to introduce the bill clearly exempting credit unions. Oh. Now, if you kind of looked at what was going on in Washington, you say, well, nothing's going on in tax reform. I don't need to really worry about this. But behind the scenes, there are a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
We do have to worry about it. We're engaged in it. So at the federal level, I can tell you, I don't think there's going to be a tax bill this year, but there's going to be a lot of reason for us to talk with members of Congress about the tax status and make sure that they understand why we are tax exempt and why we should remain tax exempt.
Yep.
Mike, it probably wouldn't surprise you that over half the Congress is new since 2008. So even if you've come to the GAC for 20 or 30 years and you feel like, man, every year we got to talk about the tax status, it's really important because there's so many new faces and so many new folks we've got to tell the story to.
Exactly.
But the other point that I want to make is that there are some very real tax battles going on at the state level. And working with our league partners, we've tried to support the efforts at the state capitol
mm-hmm.
to protect the tax status. Whether it's in Iowa or Tennessee or South Dakota or Illinois, we're working closely with the leagues to make sure that our message is getting through, that folks understand why credit unions are tax exempt and why that should continue. So it's important to discuss here in Washington, but it's also important to work with your league and attend their government affairs conference to talk about the issue back home.
Remain vigilant on all that stuff. You can't put it in neutral and just coast on these items. You got to stay on top of it.
Yep,
indeed. All right, sir. Great message to end on. Ryan, always a pleasure having you on. Anything else to wrap up?
No, the only thing that I'd say is that it's really important for folks to stay involved in advocacy. You know, the banks have been on this planet for about 4,000 years, and credit unions have been on the block for 150, if you're very, very generous in how you describe that.
Yeah.
As I tell a bunch of groups, everywhere in this world where credit unions were formed, the folks that created the system have had to fight to create it and fight to keep it going. And that's the fight that we're mm-hmm. taking on right now. Mm-hmm. And if the folks that are most invested in the success of credit unions don't speak up for them, no one will.
Yeah, you're right.
So I encourage folks to come to GAC, be a part of what we're doing, and contact me if you got any questions or want to discuss any of the issues.
You got it. All right, Ryan. As Dan Patrick always says, keep stirring it up, my friend. Keep stirring it up.
That's right. All righty. Will do.
All right. Take care.